Hi, welcome to our show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Well, I have to share with you that the my wife's birthday tacular.
Yes.
Day one, there will be another evening at a restaurant tonight.
But it's not birthday season, but she still gets, like, what, a weekend?
If you really wanted to
Wednesday plus a weekend is a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you wanted to really analyze birthday season, you might say to yourself, this is truly the official end of birthday season, which precludes the official end of hurricane season. And
I like when birthday season ends with your birthday. I just think it's like, you know,
don't
you have
tell
all
her
the
that.
Things. Well, you know
I,
what?
I thought September is just Carla's month. You have your anniversary.
Yep.
You have her birthday.
It is. It is her month. It is
That's
her month.
Nice.
It is her spat. I concluded our tapings yesterday, our taping yesterday.
Yes.
And
but you're including all the hours of outtakes.
Constant. Going through the outtakes that we had, the bloopers, the boners.
Yes, boners, bleeps, and blunders.
I will say this, that at the conclusion of the show, I was off to, and up until the time I picked my son up.
Yeah.
And we conclude our taping in or about 9:30-ish, mm-hmm. right? Isn't that about right?
That's right.
And from that time all the way through the pickup for my son, when it didn't end, I should say, 3:15, the arrangements were continually being made. First thing I did.
So it's an organic thing, the birthday celebration? It changes as it goes or what?
No, I do the very best I can, but I am not exactly a planner when it comes to that type of activity. So mm-hmm. I'm probably somebody who would not traditionally do the 2 months in advance, fly down here, surprise her thing. I just,
right.
That would be a challenge for me. Could I do it? Of course.
Now,
would I do it? Probably not. Yes.
Yesterday you mentioned the sign. So were you just out in the garage painting some wood?
No.
Making a sign all day?
What I wrote down on my show prep today was bust an ass for birthday fun. Cake, gifts, wine, balloons. And some people might say, you know, everybody does birthdays. You know, I know. F you. There, I just wanted to say that. I get it. But
and their families too?
No, not necessarily. Well, let me turn on the comments because, I mean, okay. I have a feeling we're going to, you know, get them in with bells on here. Okay, it was a late night last night. Sorry for that.
Well, you were celebrating.
You don't have to read the comments.
I know, but I feel like it sometimes. And now I have goosed them.
Over the place?
I have goosed their cruelty.
Though
is what
I agree
done.
With Chris Arnold. A clown would have been nice.
Yes. Yeah. No clowns. No. All right. So it starts. First things first, I make arrangements to alert her mom. Her mom knows it's her birthday, obviously. And we were going to have dinner with her mom and her mm-hmm. mom's man tonight. But I still think that Carla's mom likes to be there on her birthday. So I send out the text message to her, come by about 6:30. That's when Carla's going to be home from work. Carla, on her birthday, had a marathon day at her brick-and-mortar store. She was doing a ton of face washing yesterday. So
Was she doing a birthday special?
No, she was not doing a birthday special. So she's out all day, which is great because it works out well for me. I can get all this done.
And that's plenty of time to hide her mom.
Yeah, 100%. Hide her in the garage.
Just give her a slight tranquilizer and hide her in the garage.
I have a rack, a storage rack.
Yes.
And I lift her up there, and I said, I'll be back. Are you okay with your connectivity there,
He's
Robbie?
As long as the audio is good, we're good.
As long as the audio is good? Okay.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
All right. So getting back, I guess so that means he'll be blurry to me, but that's all right.
Yes.
Getting back to what I was doing. So the text goes out to her. She responds promptly. And it's a yay, which is great. Then I'm like, I'm off. What I
yay
said was
like you would agree in Congress, or yay like hooray?
Either. Interchangeable.
Okay. Okay, at this point, you can't really target it.
But I say inadvertently in the morning as Carla's leaving, I said, now make sure you don't eat anything this afternoon. Come home hungry. And I know in our unspoken language that she's pretty certain what I'm going to do after I say that. And I know she's okay with it. And that is that I make my my beef recipe, my beef bourguignon.
Have you ever said that to her, but then not done anything to,
right? I was thinking it would be, I thought it would be fun to tell her that that I'm making my one pot spaghetti when she comes through the door. I said, one pot spaghetti. And then I would get the,
she's not a fan of one pot spaghetti?
Well, one pot spaghetti is essentially a hamburger helper.
Yeah.
All those one pot recipes are hamburger helper.
The fun text would be as soon as she leaves the shop, a text message, could you pick up dinner?
Oh, that'd be great.
But at this point, I'm so running around and I'm off. And this is a process to get this meal put together. It is, if you would like to know the process, I urge you to rent the movie Julie and Julia. I forgot the name of the actress. Well, Meryl Streep plays Julia Child.
Yeah.
But I forgot the name of the actress who hasn't made movies recently. But she was in Doubt with Meryl Streep also. Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking it
Amy
might
Adams
be
plays
Bancroft,
Julie,
but
and
it's
she's
not.
The young blogger who is making recipes, and her goal is to make every single recipe
and there's a
in
parallel
the French chef.
There's a parallel story of, doesn't Julia Child save Europe in World War II in that movie? She's like a
that's army. Not involved in the plot line, I don't
know. Okay, but she did. She saved Europe with butter sauce.
I'm not sure. But it parallels her trip to France and how she falls in love
right.
with France. So, but it's a thing to make this because you got to get your ingredients and then you have to. It is prep the veggies and stuff. Then it's the stovetop stuff, which means you have to prepare bacon. You have to salt and pepper your beef. You have to sear your beef. You have to put all your meat aside. Then you have to prep your vegetables. Then you have to saute your vegetables for a while.
I don't want to micro pick, but first of all, what cut of beef
How are the lungs, by the way? Because I was thinking about yesterday when you were having a lot of coughing jags with long COVID. How are you holding
up? I love that
you
brought this up, and I will address this now. It's all getting better each and every day.
Okay,
doing the best I can. I feel good. It's just
sounds
I can't
like
quite
it.
Seem to.
So anyway.
Late night, huh?
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
What cut of beef do you use, and what is the vegetable array in your beef bourguignon?
Well, that's interesting you mentioned that, because the one I will get to my critique of my own product at the end of this, but I
all
will
right.
tell you that I use the pre-cut cubes of beef they have in the grocery store.
Well, probably like a sirloin, a pre-cut sirloin,
something
maybe.
Like that.
Yeah.
But I think it was probably not. It was a little too lean. If I had to do it again,
put in some whole milk. That'll help you out.
No, I needed the fat and the meat. That's what I need for a little mercher. Mercher with that. So I'm off. I do that. I get that done. It's a lot of prep work, and I have to wait about an hour and 20 minutes after I do all the stovetop prep to put it in the oven. And let it prepare.
Do you
let it go.
Bake it in obviously in like a Dutch oven. Is it a cast iron? What is it? Enamel?
It's a croisette. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. I may have given it to you for your wedding. I gave
the
you
orange
one. Yeah, that's the one I gave you.
Well, we've had it for a long time.
Excellent.
This wife,
because I don't have wedding? The I don't have the receipt anymore. The most current wedding.
Oh, okay.
Now while you're painting this picture, are you an apron guy? Are you there wearing an apron while you're cooking?
No, and as
are you a shirtless guy?
No, I'm wearing PGA Superstore gray golf shorts with my Adidas shirt. And at one point, I guess the oil or something got on the shorts. That comes into play a little bit later because I didn't realize that I had a stain on my shorts, but I had a stain on my shorts all day long. The prep of this, and I'll cut to the chase with this
Thank
so
you.
I don't bore people. Yeah. What's that?
That's why you wear an apron.
Yeah, I should. I should, but I'm not an apron person. I don't.
Shiny black rubber apron.
You know, maybe if I have one with like fake boobs or something, that might be funny.
Exactly.
Funny, right? For my own amusement, since I'm the only one in the home.
Go look in the mirror and say, I have boobs.
And I know, no, Chris. Chris is wound up today. He's had his coffee. No, yes. There was no chef's hat. Okay. Oh, it says Rob is getting more and more pixelated. At the end of the show, he'll transform into Pac-Man.
Ah, you can hope.
But maybe. now it's okay, right?
Yeah.
Is he okay?
Yeah,
now?
It goes back and forth. It's fine.
All right. You need to get a guy to come out to your house.
I've had a guy come out to my house, but they don't offer the fiber at my house, and that's a problem at this point.
Maybe that is because I've got it and Josh has it. So who knows? Getting back to what I was saying, the process is lots of prep work to get the stuff ready because it's all homemade. Then a
any
stove...
miscues where you nip your finger or anything? Or are you a good chopper?
No, I'm fine at that.
Good.
And slicing onions as opposed to chopping onions is a walk in the park. If you're slicing them instead of chopping them, easy peasy.
Do you use a mandolin?
No, I don't use a mandolin. May I continue?
Yeah, I just want to know your process.
So I get the prep work done. Then you have to sear the meat on the in the Le Creuset and put it to the side. You have to cook the bacon first before that and put that to the side. Then you saute the vegetables, and then you put in tomato paste, thyme, put in a little garlic, and then essentially an entire bottle of good red wine.
Mm.
And then to cover everything, you have to put that over. You add beef stock to put the finishing touches on it.
Right.
And that's part two. Part three, you have to put it in the oven and you have to cook it for about an hour and 15, hour and 20 minutes.
On a
and
relatively low heat, like maybe like a 300.
Heat.
Yeah.
And I go to sit down, and I pass out. I go sound asleep because I've been up since 5:20 in the morning.
And the fumes from the oven.
And the fumes from the oven.
Yeah,
and just
it's still
the overall,
leaking gas.
You know, by the way, I have taped the show. I have been to the grocery store. I have gotten the stuff. I have done the prep, and I've begun the cooking process. That is the third step of four. Because once you get it out of the oven and it's bubbling and it's looking really, really good, then you have to take butter and flour and mash it together, not melted, mash it together to make like this little paste to put in the stew. And then after that, you have to get the mushrooms out and you have to saute separately. It's a process.
I never knew about the cold butter and flour. That's sort of like a roux, but I guess it comes together in the pan. So that's very cool. And I guess you don't want to overcook the mushrooms, which is why you have to do them separate, right?
I don't know. I don't know about that. Because to be honest with you, if I had one critique, one of the two critiques I would have, the mushrooms maybe needed to be sautéed a little longer.
Okay.
But it is a lengthy process.
Sounds like
it. And then by the time that's done, it's almost time for me to hop in the car and go pick my kid up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking him up a little later because he's having team photos for school today for his golf team. So he's down there, and I pick him up. We talked about right before the show about the weather patterns that are out in the Caribbean right now and around Florida. And as I'm taking him back, I'm realizing now we are going out to have him get something for his mom at the store, a gift, and for me to select a gift. And so
is it off to Bass Pro Shops?
It's off to the Pro Shop. It's off to CVS.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not. No. A gun and
ammo.
That's right. It's off to the local. Yeah, you shoot. Shoot straight. The gun store that they had down there.
I'll buy the pistol, but you buy the bullets.
And the gates of hell open. When I say it rains in Florida angry, it rains in Florida angry.
Yeah.
It rains angry. Angry to the point where you don't quite have to pull your car over to the side, but if you were a real wimpy driver, you could. So that's going on and on and on. This is approximately 4:15.
All right.
We are on a bit of a time crunch. My son We will discuss this in the bonus show. He's entered a new phase, not non-lovable, but it's a different phase that I will talk about on the bonus. So he is very happy getting into the car after his pictures, and he's wound up. And when he's wound up, I'd like to go out on the interstate and leave him on the side of the road and just say, get your nervous energy out there, or your whatever energy it is, and go. But he's with me, and it's until he gets in his phone, and then I hear.
There's nothing worse than the sound of YouTube.
You know what you should do, Mike? You should teach him a game. The Be Quiet game.
Doesn't apply to you. That's you. That was your mouth that your dad got tired of listening to.
You said
to.
He was talking a lot.
Until he got on his phone. But we were talking about the
verify,
phone.
You have to verify and maybe update the rules of the Be Quiet game to include technology that wasn't around when I was his age.
Why don't you have your father send me an email about the Be Quiet game and how it works? I wouldn't mind having that information.
He'll also include the rules to the M&M game.
What's the M&M game?
He used to get, back when a one-pound bag of M&Ms was a big deal. You know, you can get them in gallons now, but the one-pounder was the big one. He would
get them in gallons now?
I mean, he was like, you go to Costco.
Containers.
Yeah, huge containers.
Bucket.
But back in the mid-70s.
Wait a minute. There's somewhere where you can get a bucket of M&Ms?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, every time.
Yeah.
Like
not a
real,
5 gallon.
Not a five gallon, but a
it's
bucket?
It's like this big.
Yeah. Really? It's huge. I would say it's about a gallon.
They've got them in peanut and regular M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
I pumped it all the time because I love peanut M&Ms.
He comes alive.
He does.
He comes alive.
He really
sits up in his chair. He's really excited. You got him there now? Do you have
him
there now?
Next time I go to Costco.
Okay, you got it. You're due. Okay. So back to you.
But in the old days, it was the one-pound bag, and he would cut a small opening in the front of it, lay it down on the table, and this has to be pre-first grade because we played it in a certain house, and he'd bang the bag on the table, and M&Ms would come out. And I would get to eat the green ones. And then he would eat the rest of them.
Wait, what?
So
he would just hit the table.
He'd hit the bag. And so some M&Ms would shoot out. And if any green ones came out, I got to eat the green ones. And he would eat the rest of them.
So did you stand over the bag like a golden retriever waiting for the green ones to pop out?
No, I think I was so young that I was rubbish enough that I never lost faith that they were coming. I just felt they had to come. It didn't occur to me that, you know, that means that about 88% of the other M&Ms were going to my father. But those were the rules of the day.
And your dad ended up being kind of a long, tall, slender guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mike, believe it or not, I know that I was an unexpected baby. He was at his full height when I was born. So it's not like he turned out different because of the M&M.
But I think this perhaps might have contributed to your severe sugar addiction.
Could be.
That continues to this day.
And Mike, the addiction goes, it's not just sugar. It's alcohol. It's everything. It's food. Right. It's proteins. I mean, if I like something, I really like it. And I
somebody
just try
said,
to.
That's how I got the diabetes.
Mike, it's how I try to fill the emptiness in my heart. But yeah, that was one of the games. There was another
meanwhile,
game.
Meanwhile, health up in Jacksonville, up in St. Augustine, too. Josh loves the Red Bull and M&M's.
Yeah, what he's doing, Mike, is when Kelly has her birthday, he's going to make M&M Bourguignon, which is M&M's and Red Bull.
I do almost always have some type of candy on my desk.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't like candy? Especially this time of year, right?
Do you have candy right now, Josh?
I do.
What do you have?
I got a bag of these twin snakes over here.
Nice. Haribo. That's gummy candy.
And I think that's... normally I have another bag back there, but I think I'm out.
I have hard candy.
It's a trip to Costco.
If anyone needs hard candy,
oh,
I have it.
That's like something you have in your grandmother's house, isn't it?
No,
Are you happy with that candy, Rob, that you have in the dish?
I love that candy. Yeah, they're akin to old Brock's Royals. where you would, you know, you got your grape, you got your red, your yellow, your orange, your green. They're soothing to the throat, and so
this
you have to have
them. This is a dumb show. It is a dumb show.
That's just the bowl.
Okay,
it came in this bag that I used to fill the bowl, but it's almost gone now.
Where'd you get that?
D&M Sweets.
Like online, did you get it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, there he goes.
God.
Is that some, like, Timu candy?
Jeez. That is, God.
He got fentanyl
It's an absolute bulk order from the internet.
Fentanyl? Yes, candy.
Yeah, fentanyl crisps.
Yep, that recovery is flying along. That body, that immune system is doing battle with the Griblies like you would not believe.
Well, you know, I'm very rarely this sincere. Thank you for caring.
I do care.
You don't.
I do care. Yes, I
you
do.
You love
why.
When I come in and cough.
No, I because, don't.
Yes, because
I
then
don't.
You can say, oh, look
at him. It's a pain in the ass.
He's
a
dying
pain in the
again.
Ass.
Ha, 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 no, it's he's got a dead immune system. No feeling below the knees. Woo-hoo.
It's the same thing that happened Tuesday. Here you're talking about how you need this candy to soothe your throat and you're coughing nonstop.
You're right.
You're talking about this software that you use to clean up audio to make it sound good while we're clicking and popping at the same time.
I can't catch a f***ing break. Oh, sorry. Did not mean that.
So anyway, getting back to it. So I did that. Went out, got her a really nice necklace at a very nice
what
place.
What flavor?
Haribo.
Yeah, a gummy
necklace. I got her a Haribo necklace.
You
got to
be
Michael,
careful because those melt.
Because Michael's into cologne. And it was, we had a cute moment with Michael because we're in the department store and Michael wants to get his mom a perfume based on the same company that makes the cologne he likes so bad. And Josh, you'll know the name. It's like Jean Paul Gaultier or something like that. It's not Jean Paul, but I said, we'll go over and ask her.
But isn't it the ones that like it's shaped like body parts, right?
How did you see? You knew this?
Boy.
Well, because I think we've talked about it on the show before that the male version has like a physical shape of a male. So
yeah,
I assume
this
female version
like
would have the same.
You know the bustier Madonna wore on one of her tours, like with the pointed boobs?
I'm wearing one now.
So Michael sees this this somewhat attractive lady, and hold the picture until I mention what happened.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, go ask her if they've got that perfume that's like your cologne. Dad, I don't want to. I said, just go on. And she's standing there, and he's doing the shy thing, which he doesn't do very often, but he's like shy. I said, and I go, Michael, and then I'm standing right in front of the lady, and I've got Michael on my left, and she's on my right, and I go, ask her, and then he finally walks right over.
With that gesture?
And says, yes, but just like, ask her. Uh-huh. And she goes,
but you don't know what he's in for.
No, at this point,
you
I have no
what
idea.
What the bottle looks like.
And let's be honest, Daddy is aware of the attractive level of the lady. And, you know, at these cosmetic counters in department stores, you can get some attractive people,
Was this the cosmetics counter at Dillard's?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only department store we have.
I say truly a department store. Yeah, and I would
say truly
a
department store. One of the few that's not dead. Yes, absolutely.
I would say that if you are a good-looking young lady, that would be a place they'd want you to be. They're not going to put you at the glove desk.
And she says to Michael, we have, yes, we do. We have that. We don't have different sizes of it, but we have the small size, and I have it right over here. So we go over, and Michael's doing this thing where he's following her so closely, and she's fast. They're both faster than I am. And she takes a left-hand turn, and he kind of goes to the right, and then pivots on his and comes back. He's just following around in a I don't want to use this term spastic, but in a choppy little way that he's running in.
Do like they collide? Trying to get away from you?
No, I don't think it's that.
So we go over.
They never collide, though, when he goes left and she goes right?
No, because she goes behind the counter and he's right there. And then we're there, and she says, I've got a sample over here. And Michael says, here it is, and holds it up. And this is what he holds up in front of the young lady and the 66-year-old.
Hey, look at that.
There you go.
That really does that. You should call that Madonna 1990 perfume. Mm-hmm. That's what that should be called.
Right.
Right there. And it comes with the stainless steel sex book.
It comes in a big tube.
Sex book.
And then it's got the, show it again, Josh. Show it again. It's got the nice little pointed boobies. And that's what that's one of the gifts that Mrs. O'Mara got for her birthday.
And that was my guess because this is his version, right?
That's his version right there.
Oh, yeah.
So they make it very clear which version.
You can put them on top of each other and kind of go like this.
Yeah, and it makes hand cream.
Oh, okay.
Well,
okay.
Sorry, Mike. That wasn't meant to be as gross as it came out.
No, God, you can't. You never have been able to.
I was trying to think if you made it cologne.
Trying to think what colognes would happen if they had a kid.
Oh, God.
Can
damn
you
it.
Describe the musky goodness of the cologne or the perfume?
It was fine.
It was nothing fine. It was not like roses or anything like that.
She put it on today, and it smelled. When I smelled it out of the on the piece of paper with the sample, it didn't smell as good as it smelled on her. And I know that's the way it is for a lot of colognes and stuff. So it smelled really good. Yes.
So no hesitancy from him for what the bottle looked like.
No, didn't unfazed by it.
Wow.
Daddy, much more uncomfortable, you know, which because I'm an idiot. And I'm sitting there with the pretty young girl across the counter. And I'm like, I don't want you to see that.
At least
no reaction from her because I am just a stupid boomer that's over there just going.
At least you didn't fondle the bottle, Mike. Yeah, I think you're just holding
the bottle uncomfortably.
Yeah.
Thumb in the bottle.
Yeah.
When you get to the age where you are invisible to certain people, you got to stop reacting.
You do.
Like you would be a person in their 30s or 20s. You mm-hmm. can't. Yeah. It's not becoming just being an old person and just be there. It's sad.
You're his ride. That's what you are.
I'll give you an example. Mm-hmm. Milton Berle's character, played by J.K. Simmons in the SNL movie.
Probably the only good thing in the movie, I think.
Probably the only good thing in the movie. I think you're 100% correct with that. Great scene. Nothing like Milton Berle, but just like J.K. Simmons being as creepy as he possibly could. And that I have that in my head now. When you think of an older guy, he's 67 in that movie. When he shows up at Saturday Night Live and he's flirting with the ladies, and that's how I should do. Yes,
but you weren't just the ride.
No,
you were also the credit card. I assume
I was the credit card.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. Wow, really? I thought with all
and
of
it
his,
wasn't cheap
with his wheeling and dealing with his Pokemon cards. Maybe
how many
he could
Pokemon
pay the
cards?
Yeah, one would think, right? One would think that should tell you that it's gambling like any kind of a gambling. That's the way it is. It's
Carrie
like,
has a birthday coming up next week. Robert went out and bought the gift for her and came back and said, "Dad, do you want a half interest in it?" I said, "Maybe. We'll see." But, I mean, he just it's great when they get to be responsible enough to take care of those things on their own because then you also get to be surprised when they open it. Gone are the days that I would buy, like, a Mother's Day card for Carrie and Robert would write happy birthday on it. He was just totally checked out at that
point.
Well,
he was a child.
Yes, but still, he should know the holiday.
Was he uncomfortable this week at the perfume counter?
Yeah, I couldn't get him away. That was the problem.
So I go to the jewelry store. I haggle. I find something that I can get that I think would be really nice.
Was Ronnie at the store or was he?
No, but they have two guys that are on TV down here. I'll give them a plug. I don't care. Okay. I like the store. They're Jason and Todd.
The Palm Shop.
Good morning.
The Diamond District. And it's right near my house. And they're super, super nice people. And you know what? I will tell you something. When all things are considered, you can get in stores like that, you can get people that hover.
Yep.
You can get people that are snooty. You can
snotty.
Get people snotty, and then you can get people that are just helpful and nice, and that probably got me to spend my ridiculously difficult to come by money on now in that store.
In those mom and pop stores that you go to of any variety, I've always found that jewelry stores you benefit from it being a mom and pop. Because they're not yet, they'll have stuff that's a little out of the ordinary, and you will get service. There was a place in Fairfax that I used a lot that was great.
I went in and tried to sell a watch in there, and the guy gave me the answer no in such a decent and straightforward way with all the information I needed that, you know, to get a rejection on anything is not a pleasant experience.
No.
He did it in such a way that was great. And I saw him. I said, "How are the watches selling?" And he's like, "Da, da, da, da." He said, "You like watches, right?" I said, "You want to see this?" And he goes back into the safe and he brings out a 1957 Patek Philippe to show me. And it's that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
He didn't need to do that. I'm not buying anything. He's just taking time. Yeah.
I like that when you go into the jewelry store or the watch store, the guy behind the counter treats you like a kid coming into a candy store.
It's actually like
a kid going into a jewelry store is what he's treating him like.
Watch guys know watch guys. And if you get a somebody that's interested in that, and to look at a watch from 1957 with the original strap on it that looked like maybe it has been worn three times was pretty impressive to see. And that
at
was
any
just,
time, did he invite you back to the vault?
What are you going to say? Shut up.
I've got a lot of watches back here behind this one-way glass.
No.
If you want to come in.
Yeah, it was
in this
fine.
Van, I'll take you to the watch store.
That's right.
It was
Look,
fine.
This watch has an M&M tape to it.
Mike knows a guy. Why am I reading Chris Arnold all the time? He's putting too many things. Anyway, so it was back home. I forgot the one item that you have to put in this dish, and if I don't put it in there, my mother-in-law and my wife will give me a hard time. Love. And that's the pearl onions.
Oh God, she was so great on Broadway.
Pearl onions,
honey,
gross. I know you love pearl onions. I
do.
Hate pearl onions.
Well, I mean, they are important in beef bourguignon, but also it's the base ingredient for creamed onions. You need
And
them.
I don't. I just not
Can you
my
use
bag,
frozen
man.
In this
yeah,
recipe?
Yeah,
okay,
of course
good.
You can. That's okay. What I did. And so I put them in. They like it. Carly gets home a little after 6:30. Her mother's already there. We're having a glass of wine. We break out some Naked Wines. And man, I know they're a sponsor, folks. I am not trying to shill. I'm just trying to tell you what's what. And once again, you could just put a blindfold on, say, hand me two reds. And if it's Naked Wines, it's going to be great wine. It's great wine. Mm. It's great wine.
It really
always,
is.
Always. Not a clunker ever. So we have that and maybe one more than I should
do
have
you,
had. I had
do you
three.
Serve it on three bottles or
three glasses?
Okay.
Yeah. That's 25 years ago that I would have the three bottles.
Did
and
you,
I am not exaggerating either.
Do you serve beef bourguignon on noodles, on rice? How do you present it?
You have a. A homemade artisan bread that you toast
nice.
And rub with
Ooh,
garlic.
Wow.
And you put it in a bowl and you serve it over that. And it was yummy. Here's the critique. The critique is probably the wrong cut of beef. Mm-hmm. Even though it was stew beef and it was cubed, the beef could have been a little moister. That could either be the sear or it could be the cut that I used. But certainly did not destroy the dish, but it could have been better in that area. The other thing, I would use half the pearl onions that I put in there. Half. And
wow.
I would also...
Fighting words, man.
I would go with a little less pepper. I probably over-pepper. I love pepper in a dish, and I did that. But
May
it
I
went
offer
over...
this, Mike?
Yes.
Sometimes when you're peppering a dish like that, try white pepper. It's not quite as scary as the black pepper, but you still get the notes.
Rob, that's called salt.
Huh?
It's called salt.
Yeah, go back to sleep, Josh.
We're side by side.
Yes.
Don't salt. You, isn't it time salt. To eat a gum? Isn't it time to eat a gummy
worm? Did you hear the way he pronounced salt?
Did I say salt wrong?
He said salt.
Say it again.
All right, salt. What do you put? What goes along with pepper, Josh?
Pepper and salt and pepper.
Salt.
Salt.
It's cute. It's adorable,
salt.
Really. Salt. But there is a white pepper.
Glad
I know there's white pepper. I've used it in New Orleans food that I cooked.
Okay, good, good.
All in all, a 10. She was delighted. The effort put forth was worth every bit of it. It was. I had a happy lady. I had a very, very happy lady.
How'd she do with the cologne or the
she
parfum?
Loved it. She loved her necklace. Her mom got her some... very, very nice high-end laundry soap and balls, big balls that you put in the dryer.
I know what you mean. Yes.
And so I am looking forward
That's
to...
That's a great reminder for her to do the laundry, too.
The balls.
Yeah. Do it.
Much better to be gifted from her mom than you.
Yes, I would not give her... I did not give her the balls last night.
Good for you, Mike. That's what happens
Don't
when you drink
say the- anything! Don't say anything, because it'll be... something nasty.
It's not nasty. I said that's because of the three glasses of wine.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was age.
No.
It's just, we are both a little logy today. I cannot believe how things have changed as far as, what the way I used to be able to roll and now the way I roll. It's true. I read it. It was a list of things that I wrote about being over 60. Things that everybody over 60 has to be mine. Your liver, when you get to that age... processes alcohol in a much slower fashion, like a lot of other things.
Sometimes it doesn't process it at all.
Do you know what my kid said last night at dinner, though? Because he's got
more
that
wine?
Great little. No, he's got that. He said this, and I thought this was fascinating.
What's that?
He said, "Dad, what if oxygen, the air we breathe, was the thing that was killing us?" Pause and think about that. I said, "Did you get that
some kid YouTube video?"
Was it?
It sounds like it. Sounds like one of those stupid AI voices.
But think about it.
Have you ever considered this?
No, it's just a random thought. He might have gotten it off online, but think about it really. If everybody dies, right? Everybody gets old, everybody gets withered, everybody goes, what if there was the fact that we breathe this air in our world, and what if it wasn't perfection for us to be living like as long as we?
Why would something
live
that keeps us
it's
alive?
It's just a
kill
random
us.
Thought. No, it's just.
Mike, I'm anti-oxygen now.
It is a trending meme currently. What if oxygen is poisonous and it just takes us 75 to 100 years to kill us?
That's well, it's taking that longer is, now.
All right, so it's a meme. It's a meme.
They were breathing the same air 100 years ago.
Josh is a younger parent than I am. He's a more savvy parent than I am. Yeah. I get sucked into this. I said, because all I asked was, I said, did you discuss something like that in science class? He said, no. And he said, oh, that's your own thought? And he said, he claimed it, damn it.
But what time did he ask this? How many glasses?
Probably two.
At this point.
Yeah, which means my reaction. Yeah, my reaction was, "What a fascinating point, Michael." Yeah.
Next time he brings it up, Mike, I'll take a gummy. He can call me. We can go on and on about it.
That was an interesting concept. I'm a rube. I'm a complete and total.
No, you're fine.
Right.
You're fine.
I'm doing that. I do the best I can. I really do. I really try. I'm older than most dads. That's the way it goes, people. This episode brought to you by Prize Picks. You and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you some major buckage. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. It's so much more than just watching the game. You can be a part of the action with Prize Picks. Do you think that Saquon Barkley will have more or less than one rushing TD? Or Joe Burrow more or less than 2.5 passing TDs? What about Josh Allen, more or less than 270 passing yards? Lock it in and get ready for fun. Prize Picks is so easy and so fun. It's the number one way to play daily fantasy sports in over 40 states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Deposits? Simple. Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard. Withdrawals? Lightning fast, safe, secure. And here's the game changer. Prize Picks invented the Flex Pay. So even if one of your picks doesn't hit, you can still cash out and double your money. Carry Speedway. Wack is killing it already this season. So this season, don't just cheer. Play like you've got skin in the game. Millions of fans already have. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code TMOS to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. You know, comfort is personal. For me, comfort is crawling into bed at the end of a long day and knowing I'm going to wake up feeling good, not sore, not sweaty, just rested. That's why I love what Avocado Green Mattress is doing. Their eco-organic mattress is their most affordable option. But here's the thing. It doesn't cut corners. It's a hybrid latex mattress with the perfect medium firmness, soft, supportive, and designed to last. You'll feel just as good getting into it as you do getting out of it. And here's something I really appreciate. Avocado owns their own springs, wool, and latex supply, so they pass the savings on to you. That means you get healthier, organic sleep at a surprisingly affordable price without compromise. Plus, it's sustainably made with trusted certifications that prove it's better for you and the planet. That's real peace of mind. So head to avocadogreenmattress.com today and save up to 20% on Avocado certified organic mattresses. Avocado. Dream of better. We've got more show coming up. Got a great little news segment for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Excellent.
You're going to love it. But first, this podcast is brought to you by Fair Harbor. Oh, I love Fair Harbor. 'Tis autumn. Your days of tossing on a t-shirt and shorts are done, but keeping your wardrobe easy is year-round. Fair Harbor's fall essentials give you the freedom to layer up or down so you're set for wherever the day takes you. Grab their best-selling tees, soft layers, and pants that work with everything. It doesn't get much better than Fair Harbor's Horizon pants. The Horizon pants look clean and tailored, but move like your favorite sweats thanks to the soft fabric and four-way stretch. Once you try them, good luck wearing anything else. Josh and I wore our Fair Harbor swim trunks in the pool. You saw those great sexy videos.
Yeah, that's enough of a birthday present for anybody.
Amen. Best trunks ever. Plus, Fair Harbor was founded to protect the places you love. Since launching, this lifestyle brand has repurposed over 37 million plastic bottles into buttery soft essentials made for every day. Join their mission and return the favor to the planet. I promise you, you will love Fair Harbor. Head to fairharborclothing.com/Mike and use the code M-I-K-E for 20% off your order. Once again, that's Fair Harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R, clothing.com/Mike for 20% off. And make sure you use our promo code Mike so they know I sent you because I am Mike, Mike of the Mountain. There it is.
I am Mike.
Mike of the Mountain.
There he is. There he is.
But yeah, it kind of disappoints me when we find out something's a meme, and you know that it didn't. He didn't get that from his own.
I now assume anything a middle school kid says to me is a meme.
I guess
from TikTok or YouTube.
I don't mind him sharing a meme with you. He shouldn't take credit for it though, unless he really did invent it.
Because I was cloudy. I don't know whether he, whether he really completely owned that himself, right, or whether he was just throwing it out there. But he's thinking, look, that's the part of the internet where you get your little brain working. I'm cool with that. You know
back
what I mean?
When,
I have no problem with that.
My kids were his age. If they came to me and they said, what if oxygen was what was killing us? And I'd say, what if you went and got me another beer?
There it is. Right.
What if it's water?
No, water's killing you.
just go get Daddy another glass of wine and be done with it, okay?
Green bottles.
Thank you very much. ABC is taking Jimmy Kimmel Live off the air indefinitely because of comments Jimmy made in the wake of Charlie Kirk's murder. What did Jimmy do that was so egregious? He misidentified Kirk's alleged killer as a right winger. He said, quote, "We hit some new lows over the weekend with the MAGA gang desperately trying to characterize this kid who murdered Charlie Kirk as anything other than one of them and doing everything they can to score political points from it." In the wake of the murder, there was a ton of misinformation floating around about the killer's ideology. And we're so quick to do that now. We are immediately, and I'm as guilty as anybody. So what team does he play on? What team was the killer on? I mean, it's everybody does it. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
Everybody's guilty of that. In the wake of the murder, lots of people were going back and forth. It seemed like everyone in this country on both sides scrambling to paint him as a representative of the other side. ABC's decision to pull Kimmel was reportedly based on pressure from affiliates. Boy, we've heard that before.
Well, one affiliate pulled it, and then I guess it built with other affiliates.
Nexstar, a company that owns more than 200 TV stations nationwide with about two dozen ABC affiliates, told the network it was preempting the show. So I guess they are probably right wing. At least one other station group threatened to do the same. FCC Chairman Brendan Carr had previously threatened to take action over Kimmel's remarks. Okay, we politicized everything and we might as well.
I think it's a little bit of fear by these guys. That they saw
fear of advertiser retribution.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's two things. I think it's a balancing out of people seeing there is another side. And I think through the Charlie Kirk stuff, advertisers and stuff are starting to see, oh, there is another side that believes something different. But I also think there's fear now being built in these CEOs after the insurance guy gets killed and then Charlie Kirk gets killed, that if I do something that people don't like, someone might come for me.
Well, I think bottom line for this situation is when you threaten and having been on the receiving end of those warnings, when the Federal Communications Commission starts to talk about license revocation,
yeah,
that is the ultimate fear move right there. And it
it's always money.
It's money, but it's also, you know, fear of not being able to operate.
Right.
Not surprisingly, President Trump celebrated the news. Yay. Stomping on the First Amendment, saying, quote, congratulations to ABC for finally having the courage to do what had to be done. Kimmel has zero talent, and I'm tired of this.
Now, that's not stomping on the First Amendment, though.
Yes, no. It is. It's 100% stomping on the First Amendment.
It's not, because the First Amendment, you can say whatever you want, but there's still consequences. The government
didn't
shut
that down. What he did was not as egregious as what
if you go back and read the quote,
and
it's
the
really
FCC
not
shouldn't have gotten involved.
What's that?
If you read his quote, it's not really him expressing an opinion. It's him talking about the opinions of others.
Right.
And anytime that something like this happens, I hate to quote college communications classes, chilling effect. It's going to make the media worse because they're going to be scared and they're going to have to second guess before they cover any stories, because he's been serving as, this is horrifying. This is like, again, like 1930s Germany. Folks, what's going on around you?
There. They are shutting down
the
media. The
media. What they can't control, they close. Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Well, yeah, the FCC should not have said anything about it. And
the FCC is the great, having been on the receiving end of these situations, that would, even as a performer, that's what used to scare me the most. Because the idea of, and it's certainly what scared management the most. The you know, you can say, I think that Hollywood likes to say, advertisers, and you know, if you go back and look at Quiz Show, or you go back and advertise, but the real fear when they're talking about punching your ticket, like eliminating your driver's license to have a TV station, that scares them all out of their mind. But it's stomping on
I wish what I was saying. The FCC should have never said anything. That Nexstar affiliate pulled out before the FCC said anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if it would have just been naturally of affiliates pulling out because they're of the audience reaction or advertisers, I prefer that than the FCC saying anything and making a governmental move.
And if that happens, that, I think management looks at that as the cost of doing business, and the axe wouldn't have fallen. When you have I haven't done a deep dive on Nexstar, so I don't know what they are, but there are many, many, many now media conglomerates that are, that have that point of view because they are moneyed, and that's how it works.
I don't know if this is a screwed up viewpoint, but my initial thought is, the individual affiliates have every right to carry what they want and what they don't want. That's fine. Do your business. That's about making money. I was disappointed that ABC didn't come to his aid because of thousands and thousands of shows behind him that has done well. And this is one, at best, an inappropriate comment. And
we've lost now two left-wing shows.
Yeah.
But I think ABC didn't support him. Because ABC is owned by Disney, and Disney has been trying to backtrack so much.
That's
because they've lost so much money the past couple of years by trying to go in one direction that they turned off families. And
I disagree. This is corporate, and I don't think you're making it sound like that they are making this decision based on losing money because they pissed off people on the right.
That's not correct without the FCC involvement.
I'm taking the FCC out. You're talking about corporate entities that support right wing causes and candidates at the very top, the money people. I want to make sure we're clear about what we disagree with on this particular. I think when you're talking about, look, and I also have not done all my research. So if you find something about Nexstar that contradicts what I'm saying, I welcome it. But I think that when you paint it like the company was losing money because of left-wing hosts, you're playing right into the narrative that's shutting these guys down. I think there are plenty of people that have lost money and made money, and it doesn't necessarily matter all the time. You have to have freedom of expression, and I think that this is more sinister. This is my opinion. I think it's more sinister, Josh, when people like this. You got Colbert. Now you got Kimmel. Is Seth Meyers next? Who's next? You know who's going to survive? Jimmy Fallon will survive. Who doesn't talk dick about anything?
No, but I don't even think it's about that. I really think it's all about money, and that the late shows, in general, are dying. Jimmy Fallon survives because of TikTok and YouTube clips. His whole show has been rewritten to be little segments for YouTube.
Yeah.
And that's how he's surviving. The format's dying and having trouble competing for the amount of money it costs to run.
I'm not going to say that I'm prepared to say that that might not be a possibility and that might not enter into it. But what it looks like to me, when you've got two major network guys, it just seems awfully suspicious to me when you've got two of the absolute loudest voices against Donald Trump are now canceled.
And also,
and that's why Trump gets out and gloats and brags, because he has no other speed. He's going to gloat about it. If you know, all you need to know is in his comment there. You know?
I don't think Trump or FCC needed to be involved in this or
absolutely
say
anything.
Well, yep. I close this with a 20-second history lesson, is that the Federal Communications Commission was invented, created, and staffed originally to make sure radio and television signals didn't overlap. That was their job, to divide up the broadcast band. The very fact that anything regarding censorship or appropriateness or content goes through them is absolute nonsense, and it's not the way things should be. And they shouldn't be involved. The president shouldn't be involved. I don't normally say this. Let the money decide it. If they think that they're losing money, then let the affiliates cancel. But stand by your talent. Stand by your talent.
And Nexstar did what all these big businesses do. 55% to Democrats, 44% to Republicans as far as donations.
All right.
They both play both sides as much as they can.
You know, I just think we are in scary territory because a lot of this is informed by politics.
Yeah.
A lot of it. It really is, because the whole thing wouldn't be an issue if it wasn't. All of it's politically motivated. It's all related. It's connective tissue. It is.
And it's horrifying. What's going on? Horrifying.
It's really a scary, scary situation.
Please.
You know, and you know, I don't know. I'm just not sure. You know, I want to be around when they. You know, they'll get to us. They'll get to us eventually.
They will. Yeah.
But they've got an insider.
But not Josh.
No,
it'll be the Josh Soroka show, and you and I will be put out to pasture.
Yes.
That's what it'll be.
Mike, they're calling up and they're canceling.
They block and cut a bunch of people out last week.
I know. I know you did.
But also, Greg Gutfeld is getting better ratings than all of those shows at the same time, which is a problem.
He can kiss my Irish bag. There you go. That's Greg Gutfeld.
Not a
big
fan.
Fascist asshole. We'll agree to disagree on that one. Hey, he's funny. Make fun of Democrats. Hey, own the libs.
I'm just trying
own
to share
the
facts and numbers.
Own the libs. Own the libs. Martha Stewart. There's somebody we can all agree on.
Cancel her.
She is a prime example that age is just a number. She turned 84 last month. I think I put it in our bonus show material for this week. I got a great, is it a ranker? That's the one that puts lists out like that, of women that are in my age group. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Still alive or just the best looking?
Stay tuned for the bonus show.
I can't
wait. Second time I've said ass. It doesn't sound, let me see. She's turned 84 last month. Her thirst traps still work. They do.
Yeah.
She says she gets a lot of people sliding into her DMs, but it doesn't sound like they've gotten anywhere. That doesn't mean she's lonely, though. Quote,
I'm not dating anyone special, but I have lots of friends, and my friends keep me happy.
Oh, she's banging Snoop all day long.
She's got that creepy age.
Yeah.
Is she implying that she has friends with benefits? Martha is focused on aging gracefully and recently just launched her own skincare line called Elm Biosciences. So far, she only sells two items, a supplement and a face serum.
And there now I have to get back to my job at the cosmetics counter at Dillard's.
There we are. By the way, if you're referring to when I
also have that body
when
shape.
When I called Greg Gutfeld an a-hole before,
yes.
That if you want to know the ABCs of me, when I get up against something that I really can't fight, and I can't fight like his Kimmel numbers, not his Kimmel, his Fallon numbers,
right.
when he guessed it on Fallon, that's when I'll just go, a-hole.
Yeah, I mean, it's all
yes,
that we have
thank
left.
You very.
Mike, there used to be a video game called Defender, and when things got too bad, you could hit a button called Smart Bomb, and it just ended everything on the screen.
Right.
A-hole is your Smart Bomb.
I should probably have a sound that does that. When Josh and I get to that brink, when I can't do it anymore, I'll Rob, I'm tasking you with that over the weekend.
All right, I'll find you a job.
Find something. Give me a choice. Give me choice, not a song, just a sound. That can say, I can't do this anymore. My brain hurts.
Okay. And who controls that sound? Is it a panic button you hit, or is it Rob
Mike,
cuts
it would,
it off?
No, it would be Mike. It would be Mike.
I have to. I have to have some editorial control. I do my very best to try to be... Just give me choices. Don't do it.
I know.
You want to do it right now.
It's not that.
Yes, it is.
I wanted to offer something. You're insufferable.
Well, I don't like that one.
All right.
Because that's like a coming to port.
Moving right along, South Park often tries to be right on top of current events. That can backfire, like it did this week. A new episode was supposed to air last night, but at the last minute, it was postponed until next Wednesday. Creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone said, quote, apparently, when you do everything at the last minute, sometimes you don't get it done. This one's on us. We didn't get it done in time. Thanks to Comedy Central and South Park fans for being so understanding. Tune in next week. There is no word. Don't know how they could make fun out of this. If the Charlie Kirk murder had anything to do with the delay, South Park is already airing every 2 weeks, so fans will have waited 3 weeks for this episode.
They had Charlie Kirk on their first episode of the season, and Charlie Kirk loved it and shared it and promoted it and said they got all his mannerisms right and praised them for it.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
not a fan of the. I'm not a fan of the show, but I applaud the fact that they do keep it as up to date as they do, and their turnaround time is remarkable.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make me want to watch it.
No, but they did great with Charlie and called him a master debater.
Master debater.
Into that.
All right.
Oh, so they're still doing that Area Dead comedy?
Of course.
A woman in L.A. Jumped on TikTok after some jerk cut in front of a bunch of cars at an In-N-Out Burger. It's notorious for long lines that take 30 minutes or more. I'm moving on to get a burger. Are you kidding me?
Mike, we can seat you in the spaghetti factory in an hour and 40 minutes.
He was two cars ahead of her, and they took his order anyway. So when it was her turn, she asked if they saw what he did. It turned out they did see, and he didn't actually get away with it. They told her they added a home run note to his order. That's apparently the code they use when someone cuts. So other employees know about it. When they see that note, they don't give you your food right away. They ask you to pull up and put your blinkers on and make you wait just as long as you would have waited if you didn't cut in the line.
That's
brilliant.
That's a blessing from God, that idea. That is so good.
Maybe longer. They told her he'd probably end up waiting 30 to 40 minutes for his food. Well, I love that.
I do, too. I think that's great.
And now, you know, if you were heavy-handed and said you don't make your employees have to deal with the hassle, you just put the guy off on the shelf.
Now, have you ever used my technique that I don't use as much anymore? But when they first started, when you go through a drive-thru and they'd say, "Please go to that space and wait," when that started, I would say, "Oh no, I'm fine here."
Rob did not like going to the space to wait for his food.
And I think at the very beginning it made them hustle a little bit, but now it just pisses them off, so I don't do it anymore.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I will preface this to say you have your opportunity now to cancel me. I am 66 years old. I don't mean any offense to anyone at all by this next story or the joke that I will end it with. All right?
Is this what is known as the kicker, Mike?
This is the kicker.
Thank you.
And you two are younger than I am. You'll have to tell me if it's okay or not.
Well, all right. And I'll probably have to defer to Josh because I'm an idiot.
Canceling, it's based on things you did in the past. And so far, you've been okay.
Okay. So if you went back and looked at my filmography, Josh, you can make a case here.
If they want to cancel you, they can go back to your history. I don't think you'll do it now.
All right, here we go. Two flying cars collided in midair on Tuesday while rehearsing for an air show in China. Both pilots are okay. One of them sustained minor injuries. Officials say they were performing stunts in formation and got a little too close. They're quadcopter flying cars, not the airplane kind. One of them was able to land safely. The other flying car burst into flames when it landed. Several news outlets are calling it the first flying car crash ever, or at least the first where two of them crashed into each other. The pilots... Yes. I'm sorry.
That's
the pilots. The pilots were identified as Hue Tu Lo and Go Wong Wei.
Thank you.
Just to let you know, Mike, I'll go down with you there.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for standing by me. You okay with it? Josh, you want to join the party with that?
No, I think in humor and jokes, more should be allowed.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you. So it's okay. It's okay. We've been disagreeing a lot on the show today more than we normally do.
Next star just dropped the podcast.
We agree. We agree all the time.
We got more show. Got too much show today. We got a lot coming up, ladies and gentlemen. But first, I want to tell you about a wonderful item that's coming just around the corner. It is the TMOS Family Cookbook. The most magical holiday treat is coming. It's at the top of Oprah's favorite things list. CNN is in love with it. Everyone wants the TMOS Family Cookbook, endorsed by Jimmy Kimmel. And here's your chance to get yours. Are you hungry for food?
Mm.
Are you hungry for fun? The Mike O'Mara Show Family Cookbook is your ticket to edible excellence with amazing recipes only available from us. Jimmy's Wings, Mama O'Mara's Brownies, Rob's Fruitcake, Maddie Masiello's Secret Family Tiramisu Recipe, and dozens more. All the best, all for you. The cookbook will be in your hands before the holidays, and you can pre-order now at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Be part of the TMOS history. Feed the show, feed the fans, feed the family. The TMOS Family Cookbook. Buy it right now.
When?
Now.
Thank you.
Before the table's full. All right. I know Josh wanted to talk about Rob organization. Since we like to, yes,
Rob's teased it a few times on here pre-show where he wants to talk about how organized he is.
Well, I want to know how it stacks up against you guys. Yeah.
All right. Here's the thing. I think from what I've heard, he's very organized about stuff in his own home.
Right.
He's not organized about like playing sounds on the show. Yeah, he's not. He doesn't have everything like, who's that guy that worked for Howard for years? Fred?
Fred Norris,
audio guy?
Yeah.
That had everything at a fingertip, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I would hope for that, but I was giving Rob a hard time about that, and it got us to talking about organization. It sounds like you are very meticulous about
that. I am, and Josh has actually seen my basement. He's broadcast from
my basement. Well, I've been in your basement, too.
I think not in this house. Yes, you have, as a matter of fact. Yeah, you have been
in your basement.
Well, the time that you just stopped by once, the other time that you spent a lot of time here was actually in the other house when we had the Super Bowl party.
The problem with your basement is you can never move.
You're right about that.
Right, I get it. I get that. I mean, I just think of the alphabetized record albums that you have.
Now, I have a question for Josh. Josh is, you know, look at him. He's got baseball memorabilia littered around his office. Is there organization to that, or is there some randomness to it?
No, it's random.
Really? Like the baseballs that are in the beautiful frame, that's not random behind you.
I mean, yeah, they're just stuck in their balls I have signatures of, and I just stuck them in there. They're not like in name order or anything.
Okay, what about your bobbleheads?
If a player pisses me off, they do move off of the shelves behind me and go away.
That's the prime shelf behind you.
Yeah, the prime shelf behind me.
Who's the last named player that you kicked off the wall of bobbleheads?
I guess it's probably Cedric Mullins after he got traded to the Mets.
Okay, very good.
You know, once you go away, you have to move.
Where does Cedric go? Does he get buried or does he go to another place in the house?
No, over here I have two more shelves. Tall, much more bobbleheads over there.
I see.
This is a limited bobbleheads.
I have a shelf over here to my right. You can't see it, but my Cedric moved down to the lower level just last week. But
your
it's
Cedric?
Not Cedric Mullins. Yeah, Cedric the Entertainer.
Beautiful.
Thank
big
you
bobblehead,
much.
Right?
Yeah, big head.
But back to you.
Yeah. I'm just curious because my kitchen is fairly organized, but I don't have a good opportunity to keep it organized because I got other people using it. But the basement is
all me.
Well, damn it is right. I mean, the pan doesn't go there. That's not how you stack up the plasticware. That's not where the thermometer goes. I said that at the doctor.
Problem with the plasticware in my kitchen.
Yeah, it's horrible. But do you have anything, Mike, that you... I know you don't like stuff. You detest stuff as a rule. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything that you have organized? I'm curious. Like your watches, for example. You love your watches.
I have them in a box, like a case, a watch, but I don't have them organized.
Okay.
They're right. Randomly thrown in there. I was going to mention that yesterday I moved around my kitchen with a great deal of ease because I've been in there long enough now where I kind of knew. The best move, I had an electric knife sharpener that was down at the bottom drawer that was in there, and I thought it was in there. It went right there. There's an amazing satisfaction when you discover something that you have not used in months, maybe years, and you go down there and you find it, and it works. I was very proud of myself. But it's very random. Drawers are.
You know, the only way to make that better is if someone else is in your kitchen and say you're in the family room and they say, where's the funnel? And you go, cabinet to your left, bottom towards the left.
You do that a lot, right?
Yeah, because I know where stuff is. But I think what I'm most notable...
say somewhere in the kitchen.
It's probably there. I think what I am most crazy about is media being organized. And it starts because I used to be responsible for pulling audio, you know, at an instant's notice. It was different back in the radio days. But, like, I have shelves. I have all of my DVDs, which you probably don't even have any DVDs, do you?
I don't know.
Josh, I told him to buy a DVD.
Some in the box in a garage.
He doesn't have a player for
it. I don't think I even have those. I think they've all been thrown out.
So I have all DVDs are alphabetized. Below that, all Blu-rays are alphabetized. And below that, several thousand CDs that are all alphabetized by artist. Within the artist, they are in the order of release, unless it is something that is more chronological. For example, Elvis's live albums came out in an order that they weren't performed in. So now those are organized in that order.
Do you remember, Josh, there was a time when Robert was into vinyl for a short period of time, and he got into Rob's albums. And what was the Elvis thing he misplaced? It was the order of the particular live performances.
Exactly.
Is that what
That's
it was?
The one.
Mm-hmm. You had them in chronological order, and he listened to it, slid it back in, and well, we've got a clip from how
I'm glad
Rob reacted, yelling upstairs at Robert. Here we go.
You can't keep getting away with it. He can't keep getting away with it.
That was me. Exactly right. Now, it's funny you bring up vinyl, because vinyl is also alphabetized by artist. Unless it's a collection, then they're alphabetized by name of the collection at the end of the thing. Unless you are Frank Sinatra, the Beatles, or I guess the Rolling Stones.
How often? Like, I organize my tools because when I go and need to fix something, I know where the screwdriver is.
Right.
How often do you go to this wall of DVDs to pull out a DVD?
I did yesterday, as a matter of fact, looking for something to watch, and then I had to grab the one that we're doing on our movie show next week.
So where the rest of us go and like browse Netflix, you just go stare at your wall?
Yeah, I don't like – I really am detest looking for stuff. If I'm going to Netflix and I know what I'm going to get, like the classic movie of the future that's called The Wrong Paris, I knew exactly where to go to find it. But when you start –
The Wrong what?
The Wrong Paris.
What's The Wrong Paris?
That's the fluff show movie Rob and I were talking about the other day.
It's so horrible, it's great.
A girl from Texas goes on a bachelor-style show to get a free trip to Paris – and it turns out to be Paris, Texas.
See?
And then and hilarity is supposed to ensue?
Correct.
Hilarity does ensue, because you know what? Those girls on the reality show The Honeypot, they don't get along at all.
Yep. Took them up in the jet, flew them around for 9 hours in circles.
Exactly.
So they'd think they were going to Paris.
Sure glad it wasn't at a Chinese air show.
So, Mike, the artists like Sinatra and the Beatles and Elvis, those are separate because...
I'm sorry, we've run out of time.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
I'm so sorry we've run out of time. That was great. We'll get back. We'll finish this next year.
Oh, I didn't mean to play the Mimic.
No, that's another thing. Anyway, why are you playing that? We will continue with more, ladies and gentlemen. But
why are you playing that?
Why
don't play that.
Right? Yeah, we're not doing that now. Okay.
I know. You can't keep getting away with it.
You're grounded, Robert.
You can't keep getting away with it.
Hey, everybody! I want to remind you: if you've got bugs, you need Pesty. Pesty, do-it-yourself pest control. Their kit, man, makes it so easy. It only takes a few minutes to apply. Other pest control companies companies charge over $800 per year. But with Pesty, you can get started at just $35 per treatment with a customized plan based on your location, bugs, and climate. The kit includes a reusable electronic sprayer, mixing bag, pesticide gloves, and instructions. Follow these instructions and you can complete your application around your house in less than 10 minutos. Pesty gets rid of over 100 types of bugs. Plus, Pesty is kid and pet friendly. The pesticides they ship have been used in hospitals and schools all over the country. That means it kills ants, but your uncles stay alive. That's a Rob Spiewak dad joke.
Yes, I made it custom for the spot.
Best of all, Pesty offers a 100% bug-free guarantee or your money back. Seriously, no questions asked. Now is the time to protect your home from bugs with Pesty. Go to pesty.com/TMOS for an extra 10% off your order. That's PESTIE.com/TMOS for an extra 10%. So much.
Mike, before you move on, I heard a dad joke that I wanted to share with you guys because I don't want to forget it, which is, did you know that the president of Sweden was just elected? He's the CEO of IKEA, is the guy. And so he takes power, but he has not yet assembled his cabinet.
Hold on. See, this is where I should have my stuff handy.
Yeah, where's your stump the mimic button? But,
I'm sorry.
Mike, I saw a smile play around your lips on the punchline.
Now's
I know
a good
you...
time for everyone to smash that like button.
Yeah, there's no undo on that, right? Once you did it, you're in.
If it'll help the show, I can get even fatter.
I've been saying it for years.
I don't know why I'm saying that. Okay, so... I'm talking to my wife. I don't want to talk about that. This happens to me not as often as you would think, but there is so much here that I just don't.
You should alphabetize it.
But I'll ask you. I've got Wendy's. I wanted to talk about Wendy's. I wanted to give you the list, but we don't have any time for it, of the things I can't do that I'm not supposed to do, and whether I match up with this.
Do you have the ranker list of hot old women?
That's for the bonus show.
Oh,
I've got
okay,
that in
I'm
the
sorry.
Bonus show. Fire ants, ew. We've got a yard over here.
I'm calling fire ants
right,
if that's relatable to
Pesty. You're
going to
get some passion here. You're going to get some passion because fire ants, and I didn't want to talk about something as mundane as fire ants, but God damn it, I walked the dogs over in a little common area that we have here in Casa de los Muertos, and I go
House
I take
of the
dog,
dead.
And I talk I take the dogs over. There is we have fire ants in Florida. If you're in Texas, you know what I'm talking about. If you're in Florida, you know what I'm talking about. And perhaps
are they red?
I've never taken a microscope to them, but I would assume they're a reddish color.
Yeah, they're not a bright red, but they're a little bit more.
Yeah, okay. And there are, when we got this new company for the common area maintenance, you know, CAM, when you're referring to it in commercial real estate.
I love it.
Suddenly, I started seeing an occasional fire anthill, and they're very noticeable. They come up through the grass. They've got like a grayish gravel around the outside of their little nest.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you run into them, say, on a golf course, and you put your foot down and you're not paying attention, they will, man the gates and attack, and they will run up your leg, and they can give you the most painful, itchy, for a month bite, and it's terrible. I am telling you today that I felt like I was in Nairobi out on the great safari wilderness.
The veldt.
Because I am telling you, there is a fire ant nest there. And to the people that are in this common area, I think, you know, one of the things about the fire ants, you ever see those videos where they like pour aluminum down into the nest and then they make a cast
aluminum.
Of it?
Yeah, uh-huh.
I am beginning to believe that here at Casa de los Muertos, there is a network of fire ants that is the substructure for the entire community. That's how many we have here.
When you fight them, do you squirt poison in the hole? Do you burn them? Do you know what
I've seen them. I've seen not sprayer, but you pour it out granular stuff that you can put in their nests. I've seen sprays. But the bottom line is,
I would definitely use gasoline. I think
I'm
that
not
would be
using
so much
anything.
Fun.
I am paying astronomical homeowners association dues.
to get this crap taken care of. And so, and I don't want to mention the company because that, what good would that do? Juniper. But I am, it really, get the fire ants out of my neighborhood. I don't care about the grass, which, by the way, you've blown that already. And then we know that's why you're removing massive chunks of people's lawns to put sod down. But take care over in the common area, which nobody pays attention to, but my dogs. And I hope they don't bite their little feet.
You know, I only see fire ants in the common area because Pesty does a great job keeping them away.
Pesty is for my private home, my domicile. Pesty is not for the community area where my dogs take a dump.
I'm appreciative that you didn't mention Juniper by name, Mike. Are they responsible for the algae boom that you had in your water there, or is that gone away? Remember when you had all kinds of trouble with algae?
They're gribblies all the time. You know what it is? It's the temperature. It's a petri dish down here. Yeah. And Josh is right behind me because he's in northern Florida.
They tell us the algae is good for the water and good for us, that you want it in there.
It's disgusting. It's nastiness. It's pure nastiness.
I always thought algae was a nickname for Al Gore.
Allie G,
exactly. But Mike,
what if those fire ants are slowly killing us?
That's a good meme. Get to work on that. Yes. I'll do the voiceover. We'll get that. That'll be
fine. And
then,
Mike, be sure to alphabetize the ants.
Alphabetize, yes. Any other thing, a little tipping you want to say? My brain started hurting with your organizational discussion. Is there any last thing you wanted to say about it? Because I did cut you off there. My apologies.
I just hope that all the records I've sent down to you for your record player are in alphabetical order.
Very good. Looking forward to it. I don't even know where that turntable is now. Oh, it might be in Maine. Anyway, don't be fooled by the last breaths of summer. The holidays are coming. Are you ready? Just imagine walking into every holiday party, feeling in control, looking great, and already down mass poundage. Sound nice, no?
Well, yes, no.
Yes, no. Listen to what I have to say. Right now, DermGlow Skin has GLP-1/GIP on sale from now through October 3rd. This is your chance to feel confident before the holidays hit. And don't forget, DermGlow Skin ships skincare fast nationwide. And we've got peptides for energy, skin tightening, focus, and more. Visit DermGlowSkin.com today because feeling good and glowing is the best gift you can give yourself this season. Halloween right around the corner, and we want you to look great in your sexy elderly softball third baseman costume. So, possums, are you ready to change your body and your mindset? Let's
go. It comes with huge glasses.
DermGlowSkin.com. I will see you there. Beautiful video.
Hey, I like that. Over. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
Oh, Memphis, Mike.
WHBQ, Memphis.
Dude Walker worked at WHBQ. Mike, I talked about this a little while ago. It just slipped my mind why I haven't showed it to you yet. Do you have your ordinance ready? Because I don't know how it's going to land.
I always have my ordinance ready. I'm always prepared. I've got it very well organized.
I don't like Jimmy Fallon at all. And I'm actually not that big of a fan of Fred Armisen. But this bit is funny. This is from The Tonight Show. He's a drummer. You're a drummer. I want to know what you think about it.
I will say before you play it, I'm not necessarily a fan of the Fred Armisen drum bits. But there's some good and some not so good.
This one landed for me.
Collins? Let's say that Diana Ross is like right there at the microphone, somewhere off beyond the camera. Miss Ross? Miss Ross, what do you want me to do? How do you guys all know this song?
Pretty good.
Miss Ross?
Pretty good. I'll blow it up anyway just for fun.
I thought you'd blow it up when they showed Kimmel. And by the way...
You mean Fallon.
Yeah, Fallon, I'm sorry. There. Forgive me. They shouldn't mic Fallon when he's laughing at a bit. And his laugh should not go over the audience. It's just bad,
but it
bad
does.
Stuff. It sure do. Mm-hmm. Mike, have you ever been the disrespectful passenger that walked into the Delta Sky Miles lounge when you don't have the clearance to go into the Delta Sky Miles lounge?
Never done it. Never would do it. Ever. Ever.
You know who would do it?
Who?
this guy.
Okay.
There's my supervisor right there, so yes. You can speak your mind.
Don't talk to your supervisor. Speak to yourself.
I am speaking for myself in case you wanted my supervisor, because I'm telling you with my authority that you're about 2 seconds from leaving the airport.
Because of why?
Because
my favorite thing is if you look carefully in the background at the Delta Sky Miles Lounge, there's a stupid popcorn machine.
Yeah, that tells you all you need to know. Exactly. Look at the chairs too. You want to know? You want to know how elite those Sky Miles Lounges are? There you go.
They buy the best stackable chairs in town, Mike. Yep, so let's go back to this jackass.
Why? Because I'm telling you, you need to leave now, and you're telling me you're not going to leave.
Because of why? I'm gonna leave.
Because you don't have the proper identification to get into the club in the first place. You have to have that card. If you don't have that card, what?
Where is that in your manual?
It's in their requirement that you have to have their
manual. Where is that in your manual?
It looks like a doctor's
office. I'm going to ask one question. Are you going to leave this room right now?
Yes, certainly.
Then get up and leave. If you don't leave, you're under arrest for trespass, period. I'm not going to play with you. What are you going to do?
I'm not playing.
One more question. Are you going to get up and leave?
Can I ask a question?
No, you may not. You may take your stuff and get out, or you're going to go to jail for trespassing. What is your choice?
My choice is...
Then you're going to go to jail.
I said, I know my choice was to leave. What, sir? My choice was to leave.
Nope.
Hey, don't close it. No.
So that went well. I'm...
What? Are
How
we...
How did he even get in there? Just
do you think?
I always think you went in with somebody. Yeah.
With the internet, I always ask this question: Has this behavior been around forever, or
no?
Are we
absolutely
seeing it now more?
Not.
We are going collectively insane as a nation.
Yeah.
Are we not?
Mm-hmm.
I think we are. I really do.
Mike, New Haven, Connecticut.
My dad was born there.
Okay, I thought so. And so whenever I see a news story, I try to grab it. This was going to be a cute story about the world's biggest pizza party happened in New Haven.
Amazing pizza in New Haven.
But, Mike, that's not what I love about this.
Okay.
You want to talk about an anchor who's phoning it in after all these years? Just watch this beginning when they come back from the video piece.
Thousands of people covered the New Haven green to take part in the annual New Haven Grand Prix.
I wonder, are you okay?
Yeah, he was so into his phone.
He looks like he could be the son of a guy that I grew up as a kid watching called Al Terzi. I would love to know if he's a Terzi. Can you play it one more time so I can look at the guy?
Yeah. Thousands of people covered the New Haven green to take part in the annual New Haven Grand Prix.
No, it's not Al Terzi.
Yes, and this year, this huge event was also able to...
Maybe he was in his phone trying to figure out how to make his suit about 2 inches bigger around the chest. I don't know. But he was definitely lost in his phone.
He probably thought it was a single shot.
Yep.
Coming back just on her. She was pulling it back.
He's old enough to know that he shouldn't be doing that.
Absolutely.
Or maybe he's too old that he doesn't. Let's close with this, Mike.
Yes.
I am slightly frightened by deer. We had a lot of them in Northern Virginia. And if you've ever seen one up close, they're
big. You're frightened by them?
Yeah, they're big. And they're much bigger than you think. And they're strong. And they make horrible noises. And that's why I applaud this guy in Long Island who had to rescue a deer that got caught in his volleyball net. And it's just, it's a remarkable piece of tape.
Okay. Oh, poor thing.
I know, it's tough.
What's up, buddy? All right.
Let me
get you out of
this.
Yeah, it is. And he is really in there.
Let me get you out.
Yeah, they can put some hurt on you with those horns.
Yeah, I've seen them jump almost over me. I mean, they're very weird.
Not weird.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird. You don't think that thing can jump? No, that's the noise.
What situation were you in for them to jump over you?
Yeah, we got to get to that in a second, Josh.
As quick as I can.
Oh, poor thing.
I just want to get this all off of you. I know. There we go.
That's the guy. The guy's doing a killer job, in my opinion, of getting this up.
He's a hero.
I mean, but he's doing such a good job. He's doing it so fast.
That this is the same sound the guy made in the Delta Lounge.
Almost there.
That's the sound I made when I woke up this morning.
It's a little.
I was thinking for the end of your arguments.
Okay. Here's another. I'm going to skip ahead to the end here.
Let's not get more tangled.
He's almost got it now. He's down to the netting around the the antler in the face. And this is the most frustrating part of it.
He's not going to go into the soccer net now.
No. But he gets the finally gets this deer free.
It's all off.
And the deer just lays there.
Exhausted.
He gets up now. He should be good.
Yeah.
Wow.
This
that
is
guy
when they
did such
friends.
A great job.
Yeah.
He feeds
them. We got to get this net down.
Oh, man. The picture sucks.
Yeah, but we're going to see the deer is okay.
But that breathing.
There he goes. Yay.
See you later, buddy.
All right, so you have to ask, before we get out of here, you have to answer the question Josh had. How did a deer jump over your head?
It was in the cornfield. It goes back to when I was a young youngster.
Oh, trauma, child trauma.
And the field that was across the street from our house had a certain hill to it, off to the right.
Right.
And the deer that I spotted in the cornfield, and a cornfield is as horrifying as a place as you can be. It's like an abandoned amusement park.
Especially if there are children in there.
You can't see anything. And I'm in there and I heard rustle, rustle, rustle. And I looked and like above me on the hill was this deer. And he saw me and he was scared. So he sprang to action. But because he sprung from up high, he was like, he went over me and it was just horrifying. But luckily I was able to strangle him and kill him.
Isn't that a good deer impression on the fly here?
It is really
not
good.
Bad.
Oh, you're leaning a little sheep. I think it needs to be angrier. Yeah.
Daddy.
We got to get out of here. We got a great bonus show. I know it because we're going to tape it right after this show. Yeah. I don't care if you know that.
Mike, we do them every Friday and we all wear the same shirt.
Sure. Anyway, we'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. For Josh Soroka and Rob Spiewak, this is Mike O'Mara saying... Take care of yourself, share this episode, smash that like button, and go to MikeOmaraShow.com and buy our brand new electric bikes.
Mike's bikes.
Mike's bikes. Available now. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Cotton nail bath tissue.
That will never happen again, and I'm sorry.
So what do I want me to do, drop my pants and fire a rocket?